You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Three wide receivers, 50 seconds left. Connor Shaw out of the gun, gonna roll left into the flats. Got a man there, caught, touchdown Carolina, touchdown Nicky Jones. They tied it up with the extra point with 42 seconds to go on the road against number 5 Missouri. Oh, what a clutch catch. Fourth and goal from the 15. Play clock down to 3. Connor Shaw lifts the leg. It's all right here. Shaw out of the gun. Going to the corner of the end zone. Got
touchdown.
It. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Bruce Ellington on a beautiful throw within a yard of a window. And the Gamecocks hold on. They need the extra point to take it to the second overtime. Oh, my. Baggett will attempt a 24-yard field goal off the left hash mark.
He made 5 last week against Florida. Time for him to miss one.
This one will be just inside that left hash mark from 24 yards out. Snap it back, put it down, trying to tie it up to take it to overtime.
He missed it! He missed it!
The Gamecocks win it! Carolina wins it on the road! 27-24!
Did I call it?
Andrew Baggett can't convert.
He missed it!
And look at the Gamecocks exhausted on the field. They just beat the number 5 Missouri Tigers.
Oh, no! Oh, yes, he missed it. If you're a South Carolina fan, game over.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop top, he says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation.
Hello, Gamecock Nation. That was Brandy Mills, Todd Ellis, Tommy Suggs, Joe Tessitore, Matt Millen, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, introducing you to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 56. I am your host, Buck, and I am joined by T-Bone and the G-Man. TRC Unleashed is a production of therubberchickensblog.com, and you can find us at, believe it or not, therubberchickensblog.com. T-Bone, you were cackling over that. Do you have a problem with my introduction here?
No, I'm just still, Tommy, Suggs, and I are still laughing from Saturday night. I can't quit.
Yeah.
I called it.
Oh, Tommy was, the funny thing is the Fox Sports replay was on last night, and I don't know what, I guess they've booted Demetra off of the Fox Sports replays. I think they used to have him call every game.
Right.
And like the video was really crappy, and finally they just said, screw this, we're in with the SEC, we're going to take the high def feed and just, you know, put Ellis's call over it. And so I don't know what Demetra does during these games.
He's probably just trying to take selfies of him and his championship rings.
And his headphones.
Invents new hashtags for himself.
Yeah, anyway, well, we're not gonna lead off with equestrian. We're not going to talk about the horsecocks today. This is too important, too big of a football game. And wow, I mean, what a game Saturday night. We're taping the show on Monday, so you've probably, if you're like us, you've seen and read everything possible about that game on Saturday night. And I've been trying to think, this game was, it's one of those that only comes along every few years. And I've told some people at work today, I haven't been that stressed for that long a period of time since the College World Series, I think. The 2010. I don't even think I was that stressed during 2011 for that long a stretch of time. And it was funny because the stress started because we were getting beat and we were playing so bad. So the stress was, oh my gosh, I can't believe how this season has gone in the tank. You know, where do we go from here? What bowl game are we going to go to? You know, and I was thinking about, you know, Jadeveon Clowney and Connor Shaw and Kelsey Quarles, and these guys just don't deserve to finish their career in the Music City Bowl, right? So I'm feeling really bad for these guys. The dark thoughts that we all have.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden we start coming back and you start getting stressed because the game's tight, you know, and then we get the ball back and we drive down and, you know, we score the touchdown and I was thinking teams, and I think I might have written this in Snap Judgments. I don't remember what I wrote, but you know, you feel like the team that comes back from 17 points down on the road to tie the game with less than a minute to go, there's no way they lose that football game. And then Missouri gets the ball first in overtime. They score in three plays, four plays. And then we've got fourth and 15 from the, you know, fourth and goal from the 15. And I'm thinking, I can't believe we're going to lose this game. Right. I mean, I felt like Michael Dukakis back in 1988.
Can't believe I'm losing to this guy. You know, and I actually felt the opposite. The whole time, I was very aware of how, you know, forgive me here, universe, how Gamecock-like that Missouri fourth quarter was.
Right.
I've just been in that position. I've watched our team in that position, holding on desperately, when suddenly, you know, a team that you've been stopping and stopping and stopping, you just can't stop them anymore. Right. And just feeling that momentum slipping away, watching your kicker miss the easy one, and all, you know, just incredible. Think about this: they were 17-0, with 12 minutes left in the game. With 12 minutes left in the SEC East,
right?
You know, they were that close; they could taste it. Somewhere there was a party going on, and somebody had broken out the banner.
You know? Right, right. Right, what was it? The 86 World Series. They were tarping the. They were tarping locker room. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody broke out the hats already. You know.
So, G-Man, you said you stayed up pretty late after that one, right?
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. I was soaking up all the post game and doing all I could just to relish in the moment, because I got to admit, I mean, I was like you. I was stressed, but I was tortured in that game. I mean, I think I felt like Mike Davis must have felt when he fumbled the ball. You know, when they show him and he just turns around and he's trying to like replicate the handoff and he's like just grasping at air and just he looks like a
6-year-old. He was spazzing. I mean, he's mad.
He's mad. He's angry. He's frustrated. I mean, that's how I felt. You know, that just epitomized my feeling watching the first half. You know, we just looked so, I don't know, just inept. You know, just some of the symptoms from earlier in the year, you just, you know, kept showing up again. We'd move the ball. We'd shoot ourselves on the foot, missed tackles. I mean, just, you know, it seems like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And when he got there down there on the 2-yard line, I hate to say it, but I was thinking, fumble. I was thinking it.
Were you really?
I was thinking it.
Because it just felt like one of those nights.
Yeah. I was thinking fumble, and I mean, I was cursing myself because I was like, you know, did I cause that fumble?
But felt like you were the reason.
Listen, Simos, we need to cover this, because I say this to myself every Saturday. There is nothing I can do. There's no way that I can stand. There's no shirt that I can wear. There's no hand motions that I can do.
Don't tell the shirt man.
That's
that.
Crap. I was going to say, I did not get out the shirt. I thought about it, but I did.
It's gotten to the point where actually me saying that to myself is the thing now that helps us.
But you know what? You know what? Something happened with the shirt. I have to tell the whole blogosphere. It got washed.
Oh no! Did it create any new holes?
Yeah, I mean, it's ragged, but it got washed. I don't know how it got washed. I don't know how
It got washed Friday a week ago, didn't it? Right before the Tennessee game.
That's what it
got washed. I don't know how it got the dirty clothes hamper, but it got washed. And I mean, I was, you know, I thought about putting it on, but it had been washed. And I, you know, it had been washed since before the 2010 College World Series. I know that.
In your defense, most of your clothes haven't been washed
since before the 2010 College World Series.
true that. Good statement. But I was a little worried about the shirt, you know. But I was about as down, and I was having some of the same thoughts you were having about, you know, down the drain, you know, on the season, and you know, Connor Shaw not being able to play, which was just eating at me that we were going to lose this game while he sat on the sidelines. I mean, it was just agony. I mean, I got to where I couldn't watch for a while. I'm going to admit it. I turned it off for
We're all friends here. So T-Bone, you walked away for a little while, right?
I walked away when Bryson Williams and I guess it was
LeGree, who had the worst game.
LeGree.
Yes.
Yeah. When they both kind of didn't. When they both kind of didn't. I know what Bryson was trying to do. He's trying to keep him in towards the sidelines, but he was just kind of, you know, slow doing it. And when that guy split him and I knew he was gone, I turned the TV off.
I had two thoughts after that. One was Troy Williamson.
Yeah.
He looked seriously. Like Troy Williamson, didn't he?
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. And the other was Bryson Williams whiffing on Jordan Matthews last year in Vandy.
We need to go back and explain the Troy Williamson reference. That was what, 2000? 2000?
Yeah. Virginia, Dondrell Pinkins.
Virginia at home.
Yeah. That would have been around 03 or 04, I think. So, and then G Man, you turned the TV off for like an hour, right?
I did.
Is that what you said?
I did. I turned it off. I was following on Twitter. Right. For the most part, but I would just sort of peek in there, and you know, but I was following along when we had the fourth down non-pass interference call in the end zone, which I've watched the whole game now twice, basically, so I know the game. But yeah, I was following Twitter when that happened, and you know, I was just like, whatever, I'm not turning this back on now. This is no way. You know,
yeah.
So but I came back around and when Connor came in, early fourth quarter, sort of late third, early fourth, somewhere in there, I started getting back into it.
Yeah, I saw a lot more of it than you did because I walked around, I pretended to make polite conversation with my family, but something was calling me back. So, but when I turned it on, Spurrier was giving his halftime interview, and he was saying, we're okay, we'll be all right.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And let's just go back to the beginning. You know, the whole thing fascinated me is that we were the pick. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed how many people picked us to beat Missouri on Saturday night.
Yep.
And I was not really feeling that. I thought it would be a good game. I didn't necessarily think we were going to win, but you know, the game started fine enough. I mean, we got the ball first. We went three and out. And then we get an interception, which was nice, but we did nothing with it. Three plays, no yards, we're out, and we punt, and that's when Missouri went on their long drive.
Well, that's when LeGree dropped the interception.
Right. He drops an interception.
Which when somebody drops an interception that's that easy, you go ahead and put 7 points on the board. Okay.
Right. I mean,
that's just an automatic.
Right.
They're going to score.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was the easiest interception since Akeem Auguste dropped the pick six in the Papa John's Bowl.
Right.
Okay. I mean,
don't bring that one up.
Sorry.
So our next five offensive possessions were missed field goal, fumble, interception, and turned it over on downs.
Downs. Yeah, you're right.
That was Dylan Thompson, and. You know, when the 98-yard pass play happened and it was 14-0, and I have to agree with Sports Talk on this one. They tweeted, you know, it's 14-0, but it feels like it's 140-0. Not necessarily because of statistics, because the statistics at that time were still pretty even. I actually think we were ahead of them in total yardage before they hit the 98-yard pass. But it was just the way the crowd was into it, the way Tessitore and Millen were just holding hands with Matty Mauch, you know. It was like they were on a first date. And it just felt like we were destined to lose this football game. And the thought of Connor Shaw coming into the game never really crossed my mind. I mean, because Dylan Thompson did not play a bad football game. I mean, Dylan Thompson was Dylan Thompson. I think he was 15 of 27 for 222, something like that. And his one interception was bad, but it was a, you know, it was an arm punt. And I think it was on third down. I can't remember if it was on third down or not, but it was either second or third down. So he didn't play bad enough. In some alternate universe, I would like to travel to some alternate universe where Dylan Thompson finishes that game and just see how it turns out. because
it's a 17-10 loss. By the way, I've been there.
Is it? you visited that universe?
Yeah, but think about that one drive, and I think we texted about this. That one drive in the that resulted in the second
Davis fumble.
Yeah, that drive, he was slinging it, man. I mean,
he was on.
Yeah, he was on. He hit somebody, I think it was Bruce, down to the 2 or 3 yard line. And another thing, too, anytime we catch the ball and we get tackled on the 2, I cringe.
Oh, yeah. It's like, please get it in. Just get it in.
But you start thinking about Auburn during his first year.
Yeah, but he did not look that bad. He was overthrowing a little bit.
Let me stop you right there, because let me talk about that. I know I've never played a down of football as a quarterback unless you count like third grade on the playground. And they, I threw it twice and some other, nerd came in and played for me.
You were 0 for 2 with 2 interceptions. 1
exactly, on the playground behind the elementary school. Right. So I'm not speaking from experience at all, but does anybody else watch Dylan, particularly the other night, and think the point he's releasing the ball is too far back? It comes out of his hand and goes straight up in the air. I don't know what was going on. What? Look at that, because it looked weirder than normal.
Yeah.
The other night.
I just think he was pumped up and he was trying to make a play and he was just a little bit off. I mean, there was the could have been touchdown pass that Nick Jones missed by like a foot. Yeah. Remember that? Then there was the ball in the corner route to I think it was Bruce or Demarius Byrd. He caught, he was out of bounds by a foot. I mean, he was just off. I mean, it wasn't like he was way off, but it was enough to kill the drives,
Right. Yeah. It's a little like when Matt Ryan, his first couple of years in the NFL, and I'm unfortunately a Falcons fan, his first couple of years, it was like the first 2 series of every game, he was just airmailing everybody because he was just so jacked up. And I think that's where Thompson's experience, that's why he needs more game experience. It's almost like he needs to calm down. But
yeah, but I'll say this about that guy, though. I mean, he didn't have a great game, but he didn't play terrible, like we said, but he can sling it, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy has got the arm strength and the throw. He can make all the throws. It's just getting it under control. And I know we're going to talk a lot about Connor Shaw, and we should. But I mean, I'm loving the fact that he's getting this game experience, even though it's limited and all that. I mean, he's going to have plenty of experience, when it rolls around next season, and he's got to be the starter. I mean, I'm pleased. I mean, don't get me wrong, Connor Shaw is the quarterback, but right. I mean, I'm pleased that, but he didn't play terrible.
Well, and what kind of teammate is he? Did you hear some of his comments after the game? And how would you like to have 85 guys like that on your team? He's 100% about the team.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of our guys are like that. Clowney, interviews with Clowney and Quarles and Ellington and those guys. We got a lot of, we've had some bad attitudes over the years, and we've got about as good a group of kids as I can remember. So before I start getting emotional, let's go back and finish talking about the. So there are probably 8 to 10 plays you can look at in this game that if we don't make, we lose this football game. And I think the first one, and maybe it's not a play, but it's a series of plays. When Dylan doesn't get that quarterback sneak at the end of the first half and Missouri takes over on our
35
yard line.
Yep.
You're thinking, just hold them to a field goal. Please hold them to a field goal. And we stopped them. And, if you're a Pinkle, I'm not sure why you don't take a shot and try to kick a 50-yard or 55-yard or whatever it was at that point in the game. But he punts it to us. We run out the clock, so we're only down 14-0 at the half, which was just
a miracle.
Yeah. It really felt like it was a miracle only being down 2 scores. And that's what I told my wife. I said, look, as bad as we feel about this, it's only a 2-score game. So we come out Shaw doesn't come in until about 6.5 minutes are left in the third quarter, I think. Right. Missouri kicks a field goal, so they're up 17-0. And that was another point where they got pretty deep in our territory, and we had a stand down there to keep them from getting in the end zone. So it's 17-0. And Shaw comes in. We have a couple of series where we don't really do anything with him in there. And then the last series of the third quarter, actually, we, and this is another one of those plays, if we don't make, we ended the third quarter with a 4th-and-4. That was the first play of the fourth quarter. We're 4th-and-4. And at that point, I'm thinking, let's just score. We cannot get shut out. We you know, losing is going to be bad enough. Let's not let have the embarrassment of a shutout. Let's just get the ball in the end zone. We convert that 4th-and-4, go down, score a touchdown. Bruce with just a great catch. And one of our Twitter followers, Kunal Das, we asked for questions, and he said, Bruce needs a segment. He's bailed us out a lot of times, Outback Bowl, 4th downs, clutch. And then he says, it's not really a question, LOL. He just wanted us to talk about Bruce. So, what a great catch and what a great game he had. So what happens after that? We stop them. Let's see, we score a touchdown. Is that when they missed a field goal?
They went down and missed a field goal. And there was a play on that drive, which nobody's – I don't know if you guys will even remember this play, but I think I've got the right series and the right play. But they get down around our 20 or so, and they break off a run around the left side. And out of nowhere, 44, the Gerald Dixon or Gerald Dixon Jr., whichever one it is.
The smaller one is not Junior.
Okay. He goes
44 is not Junior.
Yeah. Okay. Dixon goes over and tackles the guy in space, drags him down from behind. It's about a 4 or 5 yard game, but the guy would have scored or taken it down to about the 5. I don't know if y'all remember this play.
Right.
And they end up missing the field goal. I think we hit him for a loss after that or whatever, but I remember watching the replay thinking that probably saved the football game right there. I mean, because they score a touchdown there, we're toast.
Yeah, that's another one of those plays. And I skipped over the second half kickoff. Yep. Landon Ard tackles the guy on the second half kickoff, or I think he's gone. I mean,
Where was Demir Bird on that play?
I don't know. He's our savior. But Landon Ard trips that guy up, or he might have gone all the way. So we come down and we get kick a field goal with about 4.5 minutes left. And I'm thinking there for a second. I can't remember. It was 4th-and-goal where we were inside the 10, weren't we?
We were inside the 5.
Inside the 5. I was thinking for a minute, you know, Spurrier might go for it. And I'm like, no, you need two scores. You need a field goal.
You're right. You got timeouts. You need two scores. Yeah.
So he kicks the field goal, and then the defense does it for us again. And I questioned Spurrier when they got to 3rd-and-2 and he called a timeout when we had 3. I was thinking, you know, I don't know if we shouldn't have just saved that, see what happens on 3rd-and-2, and then you have all 3 timeouts for 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down on the next series if they convert. But Lorenzo Ward called a run blitz, and we just buried that guy.
Yeah.
So
Let me back up, though, and say one thing. What if they had not waved off the pass interference on the uncatchable ball? Think about this. That would have been 1st-and-goal from the 2.
Right.
Okay? They were at that point in the game, they were, and we ended up kicking the field goal, there were 5 minutes to go. What if it takes us 3 chances to get in the end zone right there? You know? Yeah. I mean, there's so many things. I was like, that was actually fortuitous because we kicked the ball. Get the point.
And left a lot of time on the clock.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress. But, I thought about that later.
That's
absolutely valid. You can go through that 100 different ways. That's the whole, you know, if I don't swerve to miss the rabbit, I have a huge wreck later.
Yeah. So we do get the ball back and come down and score a touchdown. It just didn't feel like a South Carolina thing to do. It didn't. And send the game into overtime. And again, as I said earlier, I'm thinking, no way we lose this game. No way we lose this game until I watch Missouri run through us like warm butter to score their touchdown. And then 4th-and-15. And I'm slumped in my chair, and I'm thinking in my head how I'm going to trash this coaching staff for not winning, because my wife was kind of like, well, you know, this was a great comeback and this really showed a lot of character and it did this and it did that, and that's all true. But you got to win this game. I mean, you have got to. Your season is on the line, and you have fought so hard to get back into it. And it was such a root. The thing that still strikes me is what a routine play it was that we ran to score that touchdown. I mean, it was nothing special. It was probably out of page two of the playbook.
No, I think that's an old Tampa Bay, whatever it was, he coached play.
You know, the Bandits.
Junior called
it. Yeah.
Right? Junior called it from up top.
Yeah, he said that they were in man, and he thought that they could, you know, break Bruce off in the corner. I mean, it looked like the same play as the previous play, but I don't think it was, because Jones went to the post on the last play, right. And he was over there in the corner on the play before, but so was Bruce. I'm wondering if that might have been a bust or something, because on the previous play, they're both kind of right there together. You know? Right.
Yeah, they ran in together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So touchdown there, and again, just the Gamecock fan in me was envisioning a missed extra point or a blocked extra point. A botch.
Every time I'm like, I pull my shirt over my face on all the kicks, thinking that we're going to have a blocked extra point for sure.
Yeah. So we get the ball in the second overtime on third down. Shaw misses just wide open. Busta Anderson, and I think it was actually Anderson's fault. I think he was supposed to settle down right there in the middle of the field, and he kept running. So we got a 40-yard field goal. Elliott Fry missed one bad at Tennessee. Really didn't come close on his first attempt at Missouri, and just drills it. I mean, it wasn't dead center, but it was pretty comfortable kick. And Missouri comes out, they get a first down and goal on their first play, and we know what happens from there. Some great stops. Chaz Sutton and G-Man called it. I didn't even notice on I think it was second and third down, or maybe it was first and second down.
First and second down stop, and then he chased down Maddie.
Got pressure on Maddie.
On the rollout play, yeah.
Right. And then here's another thing. When Mauch rolls out to the left and runs out of bounds on that side of the field, that sets up the kick on the left hash.
That hash. Oh,
yep. So a really short kick from the hash. I think kickers hate that worse than a straight on 40-yarder.
Yeah, well, that short angle's tough on that.
Right.
The shorter the kick is when it's not centered.
Yeah.
That's a tough kick, but
from that left side. Yeah.
Let me go back
and push it. Yeah.
That's right. Let me go back and say this. Did either one of you think that when Mauch is rolling out and running towards about the five, and we had three guys converging on him, that somebody was going to blow his fanny up and get a 15-yard or personal foul? I was like just waiting for the flag to come out.
I was more concerned that we were going to converge on him and he was going to flip it over our heads to somebody who was standing there with nobody around him in the end zone. That was my bigger fear. I was just like, somebody's standing there.
In the alternate universe where Dylan stays in the whole time, in this podcast, we're talking about how involved the officials were in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was constant. And, you know, they were making up rules as they went along, it appeared to me.
That phantom pass interference call that.
Yeah, exactly. Ridiculous.
Right, yeah. Right. So the kick, and if you haven't seen it, the Twitter account Beat Clemson at Beat Clem sent it to us today, where we think it's a Missouri beat writer, maybe, is standing under the goalpost, raw video, and before the snap, he says he's going to miss it. And clang. And I was settling into my chair to take a breather between the second and third overtimes, and I jumped up and I swung my fist and I hit. We've got these really nice ceiling fans with these really heavy pulls. So I like missed the globe, but I hit one of those pulls and it swings around and just nailed the globe. And so I had to pause for just like a second because my wife was giving me a dirty look to make sure I didn't break the globe on the on the ceiling fan. And then I just went kind of nuts. I woke everybody up in the house.
When it happened, I was sort of like, did that really happen? I mean, it was like a surreal moment. And I started immediately thinking that something was wrong, like the whistle had blown or Right. Or there was a flag or whatever.
It wouldn't, it wasn't just us, guys. It wasn't just us. Go back and watch that video. Several of our players looked around like, okay, what now?
Well, it's overtime, so you don't really know what to do.
And then you see the realization.
Yeah, the game's over. Hit on,
holy cow, we just won.
Well, the most shocked person in the stadium was Joe Tessitore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no!
Yeah, well I don't know if y'all...
You need to also look at this video, because if you watch it and you see the little happy dance that the head ball coach does, you can read his lips at that point. And he clearly looks at whoever it is next to him, whether it's Scotty Spurrier or somebody, and he says, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I can't believe that.
My favorite player reaction, though, they show Quarles, and he just falls. Have y'all seen this?
He's just laying there.
He just falls back and just, you know, just – And by the way, what a game that guy played.
I know.
I mean, what a game. Wow.
So let me get to the kick that the guy missed. By the way, there's some people retweeted an interview with the kicker, Andrew Baggett, today, and they said, you know, walk us through what happened on the kick. And he said, well, I missed it. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I missed it. You know, he had a great answer, and they ask about – you know, about the laces being in.
Oh,
and
please.
And he said, no, he said, you know, I should make that kick if the ball is lying on the ground. You know, it's not. And that's why Tessitore made such a big deal about the laces. And if it's a 45 yarder, okay, that's a 24 yard field goal. He should be able to Mark Malone straight toe kick that one through, or, you know. Right. And I actually talked to a guy who was a field goal kicker, and he said, oh, no, man, if you hit the laces, it can change the trajectory of the ball by 30 degrees. I'm like, dude, no, it just
Let's do the Dabo analysis on that. If that guy gets – if you line him up and he kicks it 10 times, how many times does he make it?
12.
11?
Yeah. 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 So so that was one of Brandy's questions to us. She's Brandy Kills on Twitter this week. She asked if laces out is a real thing. And she also said one of her questions was, did we deserve to win?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, it's a legitimate question, because you hear probably about half the narrative today has been how Missouri choked and how they blew it. But, you know, when you look back at how that game was won, they didn't fumble the ball away. They didn't throw interceptions. They didn't do a lot wrong.
They got stopped. They got held to over half as much as their yearly average.
Right.
I mean, they've been averaging 38, 40 points a game. We held them to 17 in regulation.
And we sort of blew it in the first half. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Honestly, it wasn't like they were killing us. I mean, we fumbled on the two. We fumbled at midfield. I mean,
they had one drive. They had one real drive.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Where we dropped the pick, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned that. I don't know if we mentioned the pick that got dropped.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A pick got dropped by Jimmy Legree.
Yeah,
that's right.
See that.
He wears number 15.
Yes.
So let's talk about some player performances, and we got to start with Connor Shaw, for sure. The guy who was not supposed to play because of a sprained knee. I don't know. Garnet Black Attack, George Stevens, and I'm sorry, Jorge De Los Gallos, and those guys have gotten a lot of mileage out of have you seen the two sprains photo?
No.
Have you not seen? Oh man, y'all really? Am I the only person who puts any effort into this?
We some work.
Some of us work. Yeah, I mean, we have jobs, lives.
Anyway, so I'll have to send that to you. I guess I'll have to teach y'all how to log onto Twitter so you can look at it. Gosh, I lost my train of thought now. So Tony Barnhart said that Connor Shaw is one of the toughest football players he's ever seen. The AJC wrote how Connor Shaw is the toughest quarterback in the SEC, and you know what an epic performance.
Let me say something about this, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just gonna say here's the question from Connor Tapp, and we exchanged a couple of messages about this, and his first question was, you know, out of how did he put it? Gutsy performances, epic performances, you know, can you think of anything like this? And I was like, well, in Gamecock history or like in sports right. history? Because you got who was the dude for the Knicks?
Willis Reed.
You got Kirk Gibson. You got Jordan and the flu game, even though I think a lot more is made of that.
Yeah, don't laugh at me, but the closest I could come to it was Kerry Strug.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's Byron Leftwich, when they were, you know, his linemen were picking him up, carrying him down the field in between plays. You remember that?
Kellen Winslow.
Kellen Winslow Miami-San Diego playoff game. So, yeah, heroic is the word that he used. I, you know, from a Gamecock standpoint, there's nothing close. Matt Price in the College World Series, actually throughout that whole 2010 run, was pretty heroic, but he was never injured. I mean, he just took the ball every time and got people out every time. I can't think of a
player. Yeah, you've player. Got to add things together because, you know, the Eric Kimry throw the fade thing was heroic, but it was improbable and one play.
Right.
Know? During that same period of time, you had Phil Petty, who was getting just the crap pounded out of him every week, and he kept coming back, but we weren't really that great, you know?
Right.
And so you don't have the big performance that you can point to. He was getting knocked around and playing pretty hurt.
I got something I was thinking is
you could say Ryan Brewer in the Outback Bowl, if he had been hit by a train just prior to kickoff.
Right, yeah.
You know, or Eric Kimry, when he threw the fade, if he had to throw that same pass for an entire quarter while being consumed by flesh-eating bacteria. Something like that is what it would take.
Right.
Well, I'm going to say the closest thing I can think of is maybe Connor Shaw in a Vanderbilt game last year. I mean,
right.
I mean, what I want to say when you start talking about Connor Shaw, and he's getting all his accolades, well deserved, but hello, we've been watching
Haven't you been watching this for a long time?
We've been watching this for a long time. I mean, he's already done it this year with the injured shoulder coming back. He got hurt last year in the Vandy game, and he's just excruciating pain. He comes back in that game. He hurts the foot. Last year, he's hobbling around on that foot all year long. Just, you know, just we're cringing every time he carries the ball. I mean, this is not new. Now, it was the most spectacular in the guttiest and all that, but this is not new for Connor Shaw. I mean, this is
his game.
This is normal. This is normal. I mean, and so all these people in the media are now going, you know, like today, Chris Lowe on ESPN, I think they had a little blurb on Connor about how, you know, hot and not, that column they do on the ESPN page, and they said, well, maybe he's bionic, was the comment. Yeah, and I'm like, well, yeah. You know, we've been trying to tell you folks this, but I think I said a while back, you know, I don't mind that he doesn't get all the accolades. He just goes out there and guts it out week after week, injury after injury. I mean, let's add up the injuries. You know, you got the shoulder, you got the shoulder again, you got the knee, you got the foot. You know,
we've we've talked about this before, both on the blog and on the podcast, and it's not an original thought with us, but we've talked about how sport at its best reflects on our regular life. It informs what we do day to day. Connor Shaw and the way he plays football, I mean, if you're standing in line at Starbucks and you're complaining because they don't have the pumpkin lattes anymore, you need to quit that. And the reason is Connor Shaw. You know, if you're tired of going to work every day because it seems like ho-hum kind of stuff, you need to quit that because Connor Shaw, you know. Mm-hmm. If you've got to do your third open heart surgery that afternoon and you're tired and you're not even a doctor, you have to do that surgery. And the reason is Connor Shaw.
Right.
The legend
grows. I mean, we've been saying it all year, you know, and think about how ridiculous – Think about the ridiculous folks who were saying that Dylan Thompson, who's a good quarterback, should be the quarterback. You remember these conversations that we'd had about people who would tweet this or put this on the message boards? I mean, just where are those people now? I hope they are. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
curled up in a ball somewhere.
They always say the backup quarterback is the most popular guy on campus.
Not anymore.
Not now. Our starting quarterback is easily the most popular guy on campus today, and like you said, deservedly so. So Nate Kaminsky on Twitter, at PhoneHand is his Twitter handle, says, Connor Shaw as a comic book superhero, what's his superhero name and superpower? And I think, is there a character called Indestructo?
Well,
Iron Man.
I don't know, but there was that movie called Indestructible.
Yeah.
Or whatever, that Bruce Willis bit.
Well, I think he's kind of like the Terminator. I don't know if it was the 2000 was the one that like melted and then would reform. I mean, that's right. Kind of like what he does. Kind of like his body parts just heal themselves. You know, maybe he's made of liquid metal or something like
he's
that.
He's got that facial expression too. Yeah.
Wolverine kind of has that power. Wolverine can heal.
Right.
I don't know. I'll give this some serious nerd thought and get back to you.
Yeah, you're more of a comic book kind of guy.
You're very qualified for that too.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, some other players, Ellington definitely deserves a mention. What was it, 10 catches, 153 yards? I'm just making those numbers up. I know it was 10 catches. I can't remember his yardage. But Mike Davis, who had a terrible first half, wound up with 99 yards receiving, around 60 yards rushing. I tell you, I worry a little bit about Mike Davis because he's such a violent runner.
Mm-hmm.
I worry for him, not for his junior year or his, you know, possibly senior year if he sticks around, but I worry about him when he's 35.
Right.
Because there was at least twice the other night where he came off the field woozy, you know, and then he had the leg injury that...
That was that time that he crawled on his hands and knees to get off the field.
Right. So that... You know, that's why a running back's shelf life in the NFL is not very good. And when you're a violent runner like him, I don't know, it worries me.
Let's hope Brandon Wilds is coming back soon. They had targeted him coming back. Mississippi State is what I heard a couple of weeks ago, and we need him. Now, Carson's played fine, but Carson is not Brandon Wilds. I mean, let's just face it. He's not as tough in the tackle area. He doesn't break tackles. He's going to get what he gets, and he's going to get hit and go down.
Right.
You know, and Wilds has got a little shake. He's a little more powerful, and he seems to glide a little bit more. Wilds is, I think, a very good back. We need him, and we need him to come pick up some carries to help Davis get through the season.
Yeah. You know, the offensive line, I think, was great. I'm not an offensive line aficionado, but they our quarterbacks were upright. We only got sacked twice. I don't remember a tremendous amount of pressure, and that was a vaunted Missouri defensive line that we were facing. So I thought the offensive line was great.
They shut us down up the gut. That was the only weakness I could point to.
The running game was sort of stagnant, but I think we turned to the passing game because they kept playing that soft zone, and I think Spurrier's just like, I'm going to take this. I mean, it's there. I'm going to take the deep middle, and I'm going to take these screens. And we didn't throw the flat screen to the wide receivers every down like certain teams do that aren't going to be named. We threw them over the middle where the big boys are and ran up in there and pounded people with the screens, which I like.
Yeah.
We went to the tight end too.
Tight ends, between Anderson and Adams, 6 catches, which was good to see. They were definitely targeting them. Adams dropped another one that would have been a nice gainer. So good to see them as part of the plan.
I'm hoping that this is the game we point back to with Adams because he started out kind of the way he's played several of these games, you know, looking a little out of place out there and dropped a ball. And then he just, as the game went on, he was more and more a part of the game. I'm hoping he's going to be a big weapon.
Right. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, I thought the defensive line was great. Kelsey Quarles, man, is just so good. He is just so good. I thought the linebackers were good. I think one of you mentioned Sky Moore yesterday, how he's going to be a superstar for us before all is said and done. There was so much talk about all Missouri wide receivers, and our defensive backs just scratched and clawed and battled the whole way, even though, like you said, Legree had his worst game in a long time, probably.
Yeah. So. I like Legree, but he had a bad game. Yeah,
were y'all not surprised there weren't more kind of fade routes and jump balls in that game?
You know, Doriel Green Beckham dropped a couple that looked good defensive plays that when they showed the replay, it's like, man, that ball hit him right in the hands, you know?
I think that they got the lead. they had a freshman quarterback out there. We got this really good defensive line. I think they sort of just shut it down a little bit. I mean, I think they thought they were going to hold on and win the ball game, which we've done the same thing before.
Yeah.
I think they didn't want to expose the quarterback. He'd already thrown a pick. He threw a should have been pick. And, you know, I just think that that was part of it. They thought they had the game, and, you know, it just, you know, the air went out of the balloon on them in the second half.
Right. Yeah. Special teams, Elliott Frey. Well, let's come back to Elliott Frey. Tyler Hull averaged, I think, about 44 yards a kick. Yeah. So after a game for him, it just ripped him to shreds last week. So it's good.
Yeah.
Way to go, Tyler. Love you. And Elliott Frey hitting the 40-yarder. We've already talked about it. Which, you know, the rest of the special teams was not horrific, I guess, which is an improvement over what we were last week. And
that's a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. Chicken Hoops sent a question on Twitter, and I hate that Chicken Hoops is asking this question because he's written some just great articles on our special teams a couple of times this year. With some of the advanced statistics. He says, will we ever be good on special teams? Why or why not? I feel like, and I don't remember how good, you know, as far as a ranking goes on special teams we were last year. I think we were probably middle of the pack. We were kind of average. Every once in a while, I'm hoping we can get a return guy like Ace Sanders, who, you know, is a Band-Aid for a lot of those open wounds on special teams, you know. We haven't had a lot of chances in the return game because the blocking's been so bad. I think Farrow Cooper's got a chance to be really good punt returner. But when he's got a guy bearing down on him as soon as he catches the it's kind of hard to make a play. So I hope. It's funny, and Chicken Hoops is the guy who's written this. It's like, It's not the play. Is it the players or is it the coaches? Because we keep bringing in coaches who have coached really highly rated special teams units. But when they get here, all of a sudden we don't have a good special teams unit. So is it just, I don't know. Is there a body buried, you know, where the special teams units work? Is there like an Indian burial ground where they do their drills?
Well, it could be that we have special teams coaches every other year. I mean, could be the problem. I mean, yeah. you know, what happens to these special teams coaches? Where right. They all leave.
That could be it.
We bring in another one, then we bring in another one, and we bring in another one. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't seem to put a lot of our really good players on special teams. Now, you know, Gilmore was always that deep safety guy when he was around. But I don't know. It seems to be that we just don't have guys out there, you know, playmakers out there. Maybe not.
Well, the coaching consistency is a good point. I just – I don't know how much techniques and schemes and things change from one to the other, but that's – yeah, until we can get a guy in here for 4 or 5 years in a row, we might not ever know. And I really don't – I don't know what the turnover is for special teams coaches in the NCAA. I bet it's kind of high, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're setting the record there.
Right, yeah. Connor Tapp asked another question. He said, Connor Shaw didn't get credit for the win on Saturday. Should we make quarterback wins more like baseball pitcher wins, which he says is an admittedly stupid stat? I don't know. It's hard not to give Connor Shaw credit for the win on Saturday night, but that's true. He didn't start, so –
He gets a save.
He gets a save.
I mean, I really don't like that stat anyway.
Yeah.
Quarterback getting the win. I mean,
yeah, I think you brought that up
why
before.
Why does the quarterback get the win?
Right.
Why don't you give it to the offensive guard who started every game? I mean, I know the quarterback affects the game more than the guard, but, I mean, it just seems to be he gets too much credit, too much blame.
I don't know. Yeah. So we're going to – give Connor Shaw that along with his golden trophy cup he was carrying around. We're going to give him the win too.
Sure.
Whatever that thing was.
Whatever he wants, we're going to give it to him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well within limits.
Right. Connor Shaw, this is John Michael Gunnels at JGunnels27 on Twitter. Connor Shaw had a Heisman moment Saturday. Agree or disagree? Not that he's in the race or anything. Yeah.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think that's exactly right. He had a Heisman moment, but he's not in the race.
Right. Yeah, I definitely was in the race. He'd be, if he had been in the top, you know, three or four going into Saturday, he'd be the leader now after that performance. But unfortunately, he's just not, he's not that kind of guy. Not a Heisman kind of guy. More questions from Twitter. This is a good one. Kit Beatty at Kitster, K-I-T-S-T-E-R. What's more important to USC or the HBC, a BCS bid or getting to the SEC championship game and most likely losing to Alabama? And here's the reason he asks. If we win out and win the East but lose the SEC championship game, we probably drop to a Capital One-ish type bowl. But if we win out, Missouri wins the East, maybe we've got a shot at a BCS game.
I can tell you what the head ball coach says about that. He would say the SEC championship game, even a loss, is better.
Right.
I don't think he cares about. He's not coaching for BCS games. He's coaching to get that game.
I'll tell you, I'd prefer a BCS game.
Yeah.
Personally, but what would you guys prefer?
I want to beat Mississippi State. I mean, I think we're.
Here's the other.
I know we have nothing to do with it, but I just you know, so much can happen, and here we are talking about going to a BCS game. We're 6-2.
Yeah, I know.
We're
but
answering
we're
a question
fans.
Off Twitter.
We're fans. We have no impact whatsoever.
But I just don't like talking about things that, I mean.
Oh, you're just so freaking superstitious.
I'd rather talk about it after the, you know, I don't know, when we're 9-2.
Yeah.
Talk about it then.
So, what else on that game? I was trying to think of a game that, like, affected me emotionally like that. And I went back to like 93 Georgia game with Bennett over the top. Mm-hmm. 05 at Tennessee was just such a breakthrough for us.
Josh Brown with the field goal. Yeah.
Obviously 2010.
What year was Quincy Carter where we picked him?
That was 2000. Was it 01? No, it was 2000.
That was 2000.
2000. Yeah, that was a big one. You know, obviously 2010 Alabama, and that's what I was saying. It's just like every few years, and, you know, beating Clemson every year is great. Beating Georgia three of the last 4 years has been fantastic. Every once in a while, a game like this just kind of transcends, you know, all the other victories, and it's something
I think Michigan game last year was pretty darn close, though. I mean, when Bruce catches that ball to win that ball game, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, this was better, but that was pretty good on the scale.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fantastic football game. So Clemson played this weekend, so we're going to do a segment on
This Week in Dabo.
So the Tigers went to Maryland, and Halfcock guys talked about this on their show. Dabo as a motivational tool. This week, handed out tennis balls to his players, and I think like tiger paws on them or something, and it said something like bounce back.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Are they like a rec league soccer team, maybe? Because that's about the level of motivation that I think you would do. You know, I mean, I've coached a lot of kids sports, and that's the kind of stuff you do with like your fifth graders, you know.
It's like if you're Vic Beasley and you're sitting in the meeting room and somebody hands you a tennis ball, it's like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? what the hell is he talking about? You know,
it's just like, it's probably not a coincidence that it came out shortly afterwards that Vic Beasley is turning pro.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I just randomly picked Vic Beasley, but that is
very good. Yeah.
So anyway, they struggled. I mean, they struggled, and all of a sudden, you know, what's the mood up in the upstate? I'm sure they still think they're going to beat us, but they can't be quite as confident.
That game that really got into their psyche, because they were really enjoying writing us off. And the idea that we might just not roll over and recognize their awesomeness is really worrying them a little bit. Now, I don't know what they've got to do between now and then. Did they play another game? I mean, I'm not aware of one.
No.
Yeah,
they're
so
off. They're off.
They've got several byes, and then they face us. I don't know. It's got to hurt the psyche. They're not talking nearly as much.
Yeah,
I mean, there's basically they're now all talking about NASCAR and Duck Dynasty.
Yeah,
they have to know that Maryland had their second team quarterback, second team running back, second team receivers.
Well, top two receivers were gone. Top two receivers.
Second team cornerbacks, okay, on defense. I mean, they were just decimated, okay? And they hung with them. They hung with them.
There's a few little hints out there of dissatisfaction with their offensive coordinator, which has just started to creep in the last couple of weeks. They're starting to talk about, look, I can tell you what he's going to call next.
Yeah. Screen pass?
Yeah. Screen pass.
My gosh.
And it's third and three. Let me guess, quarterback draw.
G-Man and I were texting about that. It's like, when are you going to throw something vertical? And by vertical, we mean 10 yards. I mean, not necessarily. They threw so many wide receiver screens.
I did not see the game, but I saw y'all. Your traffic, and I was asking, you know, is it the defensive line for Maryland? What is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
What was scaring him so bad?
That's kind of their run game, which I don't understand. You know, they were down on what's the tailback's name? Crap, I'm just losing my mind.
Hot Rod
McDowell. Yeah. I mean, he yards every time he touches the ball. I don't know why they're so down. You know, act like they don't have a tailback, or I don't know. He had over 100 yards on Saturday, but.
Yeah, but Maryland, I mean, they stink. I mean, but
Maryland.
You just need to put – this is what we need to do is figure out a way to get two guys on Sammy. Yeah, I know they had him and move him around, but, I mean, he's pretty much their offense. I mean, he really is. I mean, Taj, you know, when Taj is right, but Taj isn't right much these days.
Yeah.
Right.
Taj looked a little shaky.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah, if his feet are moving, his brain turns off. That's been his knock all along.
Well, here's the deal for us. We got 4 weeks left. We got Mississippi State this week. We got Florida at home the following week, Coastal Carolina, and then so
8-0, by the way. 8-0.
Right.
I keep warning Coastal, you these guys.
Yeah.
So we win this week and next week. Georgia loses to, let's say, Auburn.
Right.
And Missouri loses to,
anybody.
Ole Miss or Texas A&M. We're in the SEC championship game. I know G-Man doesn't like it, but, I mean, we could very well crap the bet against Mississippi State. But
I'll do you one better than that. Yeah. We lose to both Mississippi State and Florida, and the dominoes fall the right way, we're still in the SEC championship.
That'd be a lot of dominoes.
We cannot be eliminated mathematically during our SEC slate now. So, I mean, we just need to hang on and see what happens in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And see where we stand.
Get the joy of playing Alabama in the dome.
Oh, boy.
Well, I tell you what, folks, TRC is going to be together for the first time since this time last year. I think it was the first Saturday in November we got together for a game last year.
Arky
game. So we'll be together on Saturday. We would invite you to our tailgate if it wasn't so fancy and had like a gated tailgate community that he lives in.
Tell him to come on. Come on over.
Are you going to tell him where it is? We're not going to tell him where it is over the
We may tweet information.
We'll tweet clues.
We'll put our designated tweeter on it.
Right. No, we'd love for everybody to have a beer with us. So we'll be out Friday night. We're gonna hit the Vista Friday night.
The Vista. Sure.
Maybe that'd be the better way to do it, is meet us for a beer in the Vista on Friday night. So we'll tweet that information. If you're in Columbia Friday night, we'll meet you out and buy you a beer. Or better yet, we'll have you buy us a beer.
Don't we have to give out some rubber chicken awards?
We do, that's right.
Who are they sponsored by?
They're sponsored by Blitz Jewelry. I have such a hard time with that. I want to say Jury. Blitz Jewelry. They are at Blitz_Jewelry on Twitter. And you can find them on Etsy, ETSY.com. G-Man, who is your Blitz Jewelry Rubber Chicken of the Week?
Well, you know, I want to give it to Connor. I think we got to give him the honorary for the year, but I'm going to go away from Connor. Let one of you guys take him. You know, y'all, everybody knows my love affair with Connor is well documented. I'm going to go with Bruce Ellington this week.
That's good.
You know, Bruce will disappear on us every now and then for a game or two.
Tennessee forget, game.
Yeah. But you forget about you forget about how dependable and good he is, and he you know, does he do anything spectacular? Nah, not really. I mean, that catch was pretty spectacular, but I mean, the guy is just dependable. He catches pretty much everything, and he looks so cool about it. You know, when he caught that touchdown, the 4th and 15 play, it looks so ho hum. You know, he catches the ball, hands to the ref. You know, I mean, you know, what a player and what a find. You know, the guy comes here to play basketball. All of a sudden, he shows up on the football team. He just goes out. It's like a business trip for him every game.
And he's got one more year. I just happened to be looking down the roster the other day, and I'm like, Junior, holy cow, he's got another year left.
We were talking about that, watching the game, my wife and I are watching the replay together, and she said something about, man, we're really going to miss Bruce. I said, no, we're not. He's back.
Next year.
He's back, and you know he's going to be back. So anyway, my rubber chicken goes to Bruce Ellen.
All right, I doubt T-Bone is going to give his rubber chicken to Connor Shaw, so we're just going to give him. We're going to give Connor Shaw the lifetime rubber chicken, because I think there's another guy who deserves a rubber chicken this week, and that's Kelce Quarles.
Yep.
You know, he's a guy we waited years to get him on campus, and we kept hearing about what a beast he is, and he's been a solid football player during his career, and he has just turned it up this season. Turnt, T-U-R-N-T. He's turnt. My Blitz Jewelry Rubber Chicken Award goes to Kelce Quarles. T-Bone, who you got?
I'm not giving a Rubber Chicken Award this week. Not giving one.
But there's so many people out there who just like to hear you say the word Cornelius. You have to give it to somebody.
Let me qualify that.
Okay.
What happened this past weekend is not deserving of a Rubber Chicken Award. It's deserving of an Iron Chicken.
All right. Iron Chicken.
This week's Iron Chicken Award goes to Connor Andreas Ivanosevich Biling Cornelius Shaw.
What was the name before Shaw?
Cornelius?
Did you say Biling?
Biling.
Is that Asian?
Yeah, it's Asian. My best friend's named Biling.
All right. Is that it? You're not going to say anything? Have we said everything we can?
His performance speaks for itself.
So does yours.
Thank you.
All right.
That's a relief, actually.
Yeah. Awesome. So, great game. Gamecock fans out there, I know you guys enjoyed it
Gamecock fans.
As much as we did, or more. For those of you who are in Missouri, thank you for
us. Being real fans.
Thank
you for your service. You're heroes to us all.
Oh, man. So before we go, I would like to remind everyone it has now been 1,794 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. For T-Bone and the G-Man, we hope to see you in Columbia this weekend.
Into penetration, the gender of a generation, the and two. Wait a minute, I'm passing out, win or lose, just like you. Far more shocking than anything I ever knew. How about you?
Stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.